He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the June 8th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 22 years behind the microphone, 22 years behind those stock charts going across my screen and managing money, watching the markets roll. And how's it rolling today so far? Well, you know, we got to turn the volume up somehow. Yesterday, the volume was like really, really light. Is everybody on vacation? Is that the deal? We've got a split market here so far with the Dow down 54 points. Seeing a little profit taking in the oil patch maybe, and just a little bit here and there in the value side of the equation of the market. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ is up 37, but it was up 90, so it's kind of giving up its gains here as the market progresses. The NASDAQ, however, is closing in on 14,000, 13,922. It will be interesting to see what the NASDAQ does if it gets to that all-time high of 14,096, whether it can break through and start a new leg upwards or if that is the ultimate ceiling. Too soon to tell. Russell 2000 small caps up 3 points today. S&P down 3. Boy, another exciting day here. At the office, crude oil, see, down 41 cents. So you're seeing a little sell-off in the oil and gas sector, which has really been the leading sector here recently. I would say the oil and gas sector and maybe the REITs. The REITs have been very strong recently. Gold is down 10 bucks to 1888. Silver down 30 cents. We got a rally going on in the bond market, and that's hitting the financial stocks. We're down to 1.53. That's a low we haven't seen in a while. And Bitcoin getting smashed today, down 3,800 to 32,310. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Southport Capital is the new name here. We've joined them and merged with them, and we're slowly integrating into that whole system. Today we have a big conference call where I talk to all of the most of the Southport Capital brokers across the U.S. about my current take on the market. And I go over my current take in the market every week in my newsletter, which you can get 2 free weeks by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. That macro outlook on the market, very, very, very important, because as I've said many, many times, the most important indicator to follow for your macro outlook on the market are earnings expectations. And I publish those earnings expectations along with the multiple that I think the market can trade at every single week in the newsletter. Well, you know what? We're just having really light volume in the market right now. I don't know if it's a vacation season or we just really haven't had much in the way of catalyst in the market. But I am seeing some signs of life in the growth side of the market. Now, we haven't seen that since February, okay? So that's a pretty significant development. But, you know, 2 days do not a new trend make. But, for instance, yesterday I saw some pretty good action in stocks like Adobe, in Facebook, which we own, in Blink Charging, which is down there at the high growth end of the scale, speculative end. Fisker had a good day yesterday, Hymax. DocuSign has really taken off since their earnings report last week, and today so far I've had a pretty good chance to get a real good feel for what's moving today, what's not moving. The charts that stand out to me today so far, Apple, very nice move on Apple, and that definitely is influencing the NASDAQ and the Dow to some extent. Adobe's got a nice chart, ADBE. ASM Lithography, which is a big chip equipment maker. Cisco's got a decent chart. Google's got a good chart. Microsoft, you see a theme here. They all tend to be tech stocks so far today. Workday, Amazon's got a little bump higher today. Salesforce has a little bump higher today. The banks are under a little pressure today. You've got a rally in the bond market. You know, that's the lowest interest rate we've seen in quite some time. We're down at 1.53. I think maybe last week's weaker than expected jobs report on Friday probably squelched any fears of an interest rate hike anytime in the future. I think the consensus right now, what I'm hearing out there, is early next year, maybe a quarter of a percent hike early next year. Bitcoin getting smashed today, 32,000. That's breaking support on Bitcoin. They just had that big Bitcoin conference down in Miami, 12,000 people. Now, back in 2013, when they had their first Bitcoin conference, there were 12 people. So it has definitely increased in awareness and popularity, but that's not helping the Bitcoin stock, and Ethereum also getting taken to the cleaners here today. I do not like them. I've made it very, very clear. I just don't have a good feeling in the pit of my stomach about either one. And the other stock that, well, a few others, Dada. That was my first word, Dada. Let's go fishing. DADA having a good day. That's a Japanese or a Chinese stock, which does a lot of work with Walmart and others with their online commerce sites. It's having a good day. The electrical stock of the day would have to be Boyd out of China, BYDDF. And of course, It is known for having Warren Buffett as an investor in it, BYDDF. Boeing's having a decent day. And corn. Corn is flying higher today. I checked out my corn yesterday. It's pretty good. Maybe 4 feet tall right now. Not any stalks forming yet. Picked my third tomato yesterday, and I had a big yellow bell pepper on my garden yesterday. Boy, you know what? I couldn't grow yellow bell peppers in California. You got to have a little heat, and we do have some heat here in Mount Pleasant. We're about 85 degrees this time of year, 85 to 90. I had a beautiful yellow bell pepper yesterday, sautéed in a little olive oil and sea salt last night. I never tasted anything so good in my life. Along with some fresh blue crabs from the dock and a fresh trout, speckled trout that I caught a couple of days ago. All right, well, you know what? The big news yesterday. Alzheimer's. Biogen. Wow. That was very, very big news. And we'll get to that here in a bit. As you know, that drug has been turned down twice. And yesterday it was finally approved, and that really set the biotech sector on fire yesterday. It's cooling off a little bit yet today, but, you know, the stock was halted for quite some time. I mean, it was like do or die for Biogen. they got the nod, and that really sent the stock, I think, 41% to the upside yesterday. Now, the SPY, okay, SPY is the biggest ETF out there, and it's on the S&P 500. It's trading, yesterday it traded 54% of its normal volume, which is well below its 30-day moving average. That's a problem, okay? So it's very hard to detect any kind of a trend right now. Any kind of direction in the market. I used the example yesterday. Hashtag waiting for a trend to develop. There really isn't one. I mean, the only trend I have seen yesterday and today, kind of in the growth stocks, the two days in a row, okay? We haven't seen 2 days in a row of good movement in the growth stocks. for quite some time. There was a big internet outage overnight. I didn't notice it. I was sleeping. It's being blamed on a stock by the name, a company by the name of Fastly. I do follow that stock. It's in my app, FSLY. Apparently the culprit of the big internet outage. Fastly has actually turned around now. It's up 6.4%. It was down 5.3%. You had website outages at CNN, Bloomberg, the New York Times, Twitch, Reddit, and Seeking Alpha were down at some point this morning. Looks like everything back up and running now. All right, this is Bill Gunderson. We're going to talk about this Alzheimer drug when we come back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, yesterday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Biogen got the news that the FDA announced approval of the company's Aduhelm, otherwise known as Aducanumab. Aducanumab. That's a tough one. That's a mouthful, which is for Alzheimer's disease. Now, this is the first drug approved for Alzheimer's since 2003. And, you know, the jury is still kind of out on this drug. It failed its first test, which was some time ago. And then earlier this year, was it, or late last year, in an 8-1, no, it was in November, 8-1, the FDA turned it down again, saying that the data from the trial was not enough to demonstrate efficacy. So, in the end, it's pretty much a drug. It says, here's what the FDA said. We ultimately decided to use the accelerated approval pathway, a pathway intended to provide earlier access to potentially valuable therapies for patients with serious diseases when there is an unmet need. In other words, there's nowhere else to turn right now for Alzheimer's, and of course that's been one of the moves that Trump made with the FDA while he was president to let them use some of these experimental drugs when there's no other drug out there. This sounds a little bit stronger than that, however, but they did use the accelerated approval pathway. Right now the pricing looks like $56,000 per year for the drug, and that's not counting, people with health insurance. Again, it's the first Alzheimer's disease drug approved by the FDA since 2003, and it aims to slow the progression of the disease. And of course, this is Biogen, B-I-I-B, which has not had any growth for years. And really, I mean, the future of Biogen really did hang on this stock. And of course, they did get the good news yesterday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that lit up the whole biotech sector yesterday. It's settling back a little today. But Biogen, right out of the gate when that news came out, it surged 60%. To $460, and it's come back now. It's at $381. So it's come back some $80 per share from that initial euphoria surrounding this drug. The global Alzheimer's disease treatment market is expected to grow at a compound annual growth rate of 12.8% between 2020 and 2027. Reaching more than $5.6 billion by 2027, according to a report from Acumen Research and Consulting. Well, I've seen price targets all over the map. It's kind of early to really put a pencil to this. Citigroup analyst Mohit Bansal sees shares reaching $410 per share. Well, it's $382 right now. I certainly wouldn't buy it at $382 if it had a $410 target price. Morgan Stanley has a $343 price target. Maybe, he says, up to $375. Well, that's where the stock is now. But wait a minute. Truist comes out and says they project a $56,000 a year price tag for the therapy. Truist sees a scenario where Biogen can hit $846 per share, implying an upside of 195% of the previous close. Okay, well, they're the outlier there. I would just say that a lot of this drug's potential in the earnings for Biogen has already been priced in to the stock. That's my perspective. In other words, I would not be going out and buying this stock. Following the FDA's approval for Alzheimer's disease, Biogen announced a collaboration with CVS Health. Of course, CVS bought a big healthcare provider a couple years ago, and the intention to enter into a value-based contract with Cigna. Beginning in September, CVS will make cognitive screenings available through its Project Health program, which aims to narrow disparities. The program will begin in Atlanta. Well, that's where the CDC is headquartered, and then Boston, and then Providence, Charlotte, Charleston. Hey, how about that? Columbia, Chicago, Dallas-Fort Worth, Detroit, Houston, Jackson, Memphis, Los Angeles, Miami, New York, Philadelphia, and Washington, D.C. Biogen will also work with the National Association of Free and Charitable Clinics to develop a program that supports brain health and culturally competent Alzheimer's disease education for patients and healthcare providers. So, yeah, the list price, supposedly $56,000 per share or per year for the treatment, so those with insurance will pay for less than that, far less than that, and the price won't change for 4 years, according to CEO of Biogen, Michael Vantassos. And it's in a lot of other drugs. You know, Eli Lilly has an Alzheimer's drug in the pipeline, too. Eli Lilly was up 13% yesterday. Now, you know, this has been a sector, the pharmaceutical sector, which really hasn't done a whole lot for investors for quite some time. You know, it got a little lift from COVID and the vaccines, Johnson & Johnson, and, of course, Pfizer. Moderna's done really well as a stock. AstraZeneca got a little benefit. But all in all, this hasn't been a very good sector in the market. But it did wake up yesterday with a bang. Lilly, Biogen, and a few others. Okay, turning to a completely different subject, surging home prices. What was the average price of a home across America, the median price, a year ago? $287,000. Today it's $342,000. So one could say there's a bit of an asset bubble there. And of course it's the Fed that has helped to create the asset bubble currently taking place. You've got the stock market trading at a forward PE ratio that's pretty much way beyond the mean, because of these low interest rates and people seeking better rates. And, of course, low interest rates keeping the 30-year mortgage around 3% or lower has put a lot more demand into the market, right? And the supply continues to be very, very thin. So, yeah, from $268,000 to $341,000, what is it? That's about a 20% increase in 1 year. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about some sectors in the market and some individual stocks. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. What is causing this big sell-off in Bitcoin? Now, I don't own Bitcoin. I have owned that GBTC in the past off and on, but, I don't have a good feeling about Bitcoin. I think government, World Bank, central banks are going to be the biggest threat to this currency, or whatever you want to call it. I think they want to develop their own currency. Well, you know, this is kind of going down today a little bit on misinformation, okay? And here's what it is. The Department of Justice recovered $2.3 million in Bitcoin from the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack. Okay, so the DOJ revealed Monday that it has recovered a significant portion of the bitcoins paid by Colonial Pipeline in a ransomware attack conducted in May by a criminal gang known as DarkSide. Where's Batman when we need him, huh? Can't he take down DarkSide? Well, you know, the fact that they were able to go in and recover these bitcoins, that wasn't supposed to happen. I thought Bitcoin was totally safe and unhackable and all this kind of thing. So that obviously raises a little bit of a question. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco announced that the Department of Justice had tracked down and recovered a majority of the bitcoins the company had paid in ransom. The total value of the ransom was valued at $4.4 million. According to the Department of Justice, the operation recovered 63.7 bitcoins valued at about $2.3 million. And Monaco went on to say, today we turned the tables on DarkSide. Okay, well, the FBI seizure, which was paid in Bitcoin, means that Bitcoin is easily hackable. That's what the market is saying. But that's not really the case. In fact, that doesn't seem to be anywhere close to the case. But you've got Bitcoin right now in a bear market, obviously. I mean, it's been cut in half. Is that not a bear market? It's down 50% from its high. I believe you go into bear market territory at 30% down. I'm looking at the chart of Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. This thing was $58 per share, hitting a new all-time high back in late February before the wheels started to come off the bus in the high-growth, high-speculation area of the market in late February. And that's about the time I was doing a remodeling of my portfolios away from the high growth that served me well last year to more value-oriented, real asset type of stocks. Grayscale is now $26. It's down more than 50%. Okay, if we do the math on that, $58, okay, is where it was, $58.22 back in February of this year, and it tracks Bitcoin. Today it's $26.89. That is a percentage loss of 54%. Ouch. Now, here's the other bad news for you Bitcoin people biting your fingernails right now, hoping that it comes back. It broke the 200-day moving average yesterday. That's not good at all. Today, it is plunging and breaking all support. It had a little bit of support in the $28 area, the GBTC. Today, it's busting below that, and it's down 9%. Now, you go through these psychological, there's also, as price change occurs, at $58.22, you had euphoria, right? I got to get in before goes any higher. People were giddy. Well, you know, it came from 28. It had gone from 28 in mid-January. In 1 month's time, it went to 58. When an asset class makes a move like that, which was more than 100%, in about 4 or 5 weeks is pretty vulnerable to some pretty steep sell-offs and profit taking. Okay, then you went from euphoria, and then it went back to 37, frightened, scared, fear. That would be that. And then you went sideways for quite some time. Hope. All right, hope. You know, hope that it gets back up to where I bought it. Okay, I can break even. And then when it broke 38, fear. And now you're kind of in panic mode, really, as people flee for the exits. Ethereum, okay? The Ethereum Trust was 43 in February. That thing, like, tripled in a couple of months' time. That's total euphoria. Giddy. And now from 43 down to 23, where it does have some support here. If it breaks 23... there really is no support, but Ethereum is now below its 50-day moving average. It's trading huge volume today. It's down 12%, down 12% today. So after this FBI seizure, that's what you've got with the cryptocurrencies right now. I have no exposure, and I've been warning about the cryptocurrencies. Okay, now we got to turn to another area of the market, the meme stocks. Well, the SEC is watching very, very closely this recent move in AMC. You know, the CEO of AMC rewarding these people with movie passes and popcorn, you know, for life. AMC's up another 5.3%. Now, here's the weird thing about AMC. It's still in the Russell 2000. I don't know what the market cap. I'd have to look that up. I want to say it's about 8 to 10 billion. Once you get above that, you're no longer eligible for the Russell 2000. You're no longer a small cap. The Russell 2000 is a small cap index. Well, we've witnessed here the Russell 2000 breaking out recently. Why? Because they've decided to leave AMC in the Russell 2000. AMC is now a $26 billion company. It should not qualify for the Russell 2000, but it's being left in because it's moved up on this weird, they call it the AMC Ape Army, the Ape Army. Okay, and most people value AMC at about $15 to $20 per share. It's $58 per share. Do you know how much money that AMC has raised, how many shares they floated, how many bond offerings they've done during this run-up? And that's all that does is dilute the current shareholders. Well, AMC will remain in the Russell 2000 for now, but it's having a huge impact, and it's having a huge weird impact on a lot of other ETFs out there in the market. Well, enter stage right, the SEC. SEC Chair Gary Gensler outlined an aggressive plan to update the SEC's rules on a number of issues. Well, yeah, it seems like there's a lot of stuff that's just out of control right now. His number one priority is new rules related to climate risk disclosures. Okay, personally, I'd go after the meme traders and the SPACs first, but climate risk disclosure, number one. And then number two, he's going to put increased enforcement out there. And going, this is still climate risk disclosure. In other words, these companies that impact the climate need to disclose that in their filings. But now let's move on to the next issues, and of course it's going to be the meme stocks and the SPACs. And the SPACs have really cooled off lately. I'm not seeing as many SPACs going public, and many SPACs right now are in violation and in danger of being delisted. But that whole SPAC thing, I would say, caused that sell-off in February, wicked sell-off in February of the high-growth stocks. the sell-off in the speculative stocks, the sell-off in the SPACs, because they'd let it get out of control. But wait, there's a new one. Here you go. Are you ready for the latest meme stock? Wendy's. That's right. Dave. Good old Dave. Late Dave. Go get some Wendy's chili today. The stock up 17%, breaking out to $27 per share. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, in this final segment, I would like to feature a stock for several reasons. One, to point out the big, big difference in the market here in 2021 versus the market in 2020. It's quite a different year. It's a whole different class of stocks that are working in 2021 than worked in 2020. You know, we did very, very well in 2020. We made a big market call in mid-February of 2020 when COVID was about at its worst. You know, and I said, look, the market's looking ahead 12 to 18 months. And, you know, I was 4 days within calling the bottom. You can go to Seeking Alpha and see some of the articles I wrote around that time period, February and March of 2020, when things looked the darkest, you know. But you have to remember that the market looks ahead, you know, 12 to 24 months. Right now it's not looking at how much the S&P will make this year or even next year. It's already looking ahead to 2023. And, of course, I publish that in my newsletter every week. At GundersonCapital.com, that earnings expectations for the S&P 500 is, to me, the very best indicator in the entire market. And that's what I've based my calls, my market calls on for the last, you know, over one decade of making market calls. But I'm going to feature a stock here today. Now, I invented the Best Stocks Now app, which you can look at beststocksnowapp.com. That's beststocksnowapp.com. And you can look up, I think we offer like 600 stocks for free, all right? The entire database is 5,800. And that's a subscription service to get access to the entire database, which is updated on a daily basis. Last year we did very well in the high growth section of the market. We had a monster year. Our business grew by 83% in 2020. Okay. But everything started to change in February of this year when interest rates started to trickle higher. When interest rates trickle higher, that impacts the multiple. It reins in multiples contract. Okay, so the most vulnerable stocks in the market when interest rates start to rise are the stocks with the highest multiples or P.E. ratios. And that's exactly what happened. You know, just look at ARK Funds with Kathy Wood and how her funds were hit very hard because she owns very high multiple stocks. They do fabulous when the market is rocking and rolling like it did in 2020, but when the market starts to worry about valuations and interest rates start to rise and multiples start to contract, the market goes in a completely different direction. So we had a massive shift in February away from speculative SPACs and, you know, EV charging battery companies and EV vehicles in China and whatnot. And the action went to value stocks, which this hasn't happened for many years. But I've had experience in both sides of the market, the value side of the market and the momentum side of the market. I kind of like to combine the two. That's what my app does. It looks at stocks that are undervalued, and then it also looks for momentum that's picking up. And My proprietary grading system combines those two. So here's an example, okay? You know, you can buy a plant-based food stock. They were all the rage in 2020, the Beyond Meats of the world, etc. But they're trading at huge, huge multiples. Now, what does it take to grow plant-based foods? What's it take? Well, I guess a lot of it's grown in the lab. But this year is also a year where essential basic materials, essential basics of life types of stocks are doing much better than these more ethereal out there on the horizon, autonomous driving vehicles and things like that, robotics, whatnot. How about just a basic company out of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, called Nutrien, symbol NTR. They're one of the largest producers of potash in the entire world. Now, I'm a gardener. I know what it takes to grow vegetables. Potash is a very, very important chemical for the health of your plants. Nutrien says that it plans to increase potash production by 500,000 metric tons because of the tightening global potash market. Well, now how does that translate to the stock, okay? This is a $36 billion large cap company that pays a dividend yield of 2.9%. This is also a year in 2021 that favors dividend paying stocks. But it also favors stocks that are trading at low price to sales ratios. I'm trying to keep my price to sales ratios about 1 to 2, somewhere in that neighborhood. For instance, a company like Tesla is trading at 17. Well, potash is trading at 1.7 times sales. And I also look strongly at the PEG ratio. The PEG ratio on Nutrien right now is 1.23. It's trading at a slight premium to its growth rate. My five-year price target on potash, which comes from the app, is $129 per share, which means it has the potential to double over the next 5 years. And it has very strong momentum right now. The stock is hitting new all-time highs. In fact, it's currently ranked number 186 out of 5,824. We'll just make that as our featured stock of the week because it's a very good example of the kind of stocks that are working this year versus the kind of stocks that worked last year. Man, it's a totally different ball game here in 2021. If you haven't adjusted your portfolios and wondering why your high-growth stocks are not working this year, it's because interest rates are trickling higher, and we've got a very richly valued market. Now, you can check out my app at beststocksnowapp.com, beststocksnowapp.com. I invented it about 10 years ago, 12 years ago. I use it exclusively as a professional money manager. I developed it from my experience as an analyst in the early years of my life in the industry. It's based on momentum and valuation, and it has a proprietary ranking system on 5,800 stocks, mutual funds, ETFs. You can get my weekly newsletter, which I offer out. I've been writing it for 21 years, every single weekend. You go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, or you can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.